In case you guys didn't meet me, my name's Donnie, kind of captain the ship here, trying to get this microphone figured out. All right, welcome to One Harbor. Good to have you guys. Like I said, just really great to have you here. I know it's a pretty day. Could be at Shack, could be at somewhere else. I won't start talking about it because maybe you'll jump up and head out. But yeah, thanks, Cassie, thanks. So yeah, a couple quick announcements. We meet here, obviously, at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We're going to keep doing that. Seems to be working out all right. Monday nights, if you guys would have gotten a flyer there at the door, we do a men's group and a women's group. We really are trying to build strong men, strong women. We ultimately want a church with strong individuals, strong marriages, the whole bit. So on Monday nights, the men meet at my house, and that's over by Spooner's Creek in Moorhead. What we do is we're going through a series on Band of Brothers. It's like an HBO series, and really just talking about what it means to be men, having some fun, a little foosball tournament here and there. And then the women are getting together at Rebecca's house, Rebecca over here. But this week, we'll be at Mary Beth's house. I don't know where the girls meet because I'm not a girl, so sorry I was corrected there. But the girls are meeting somewhere. I'm sure it'll be on that flyer. And then I think that's it. Sorry, a little bit of family business for the guys who come here regularly. There's a new container for the offering that's there in the back. That's just family business. Don't feel pressure if it's your first time here. So, yeah, that's basically the announcements. Have I forgotten anything? Bathrooms. They are both working this week. Round of applause to Joey the Ox for fixing our, for giving the women somewhere to hang out. And sorry, I know it's a group thing normally, but it would be a little crowded in there. So it's probably going to be a one-person deal for the bathroom. So anyway, you can't hang out together. Probably a little awkward, but anyway, so we could get a little stool or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's a small little room, but it works. So that's the point. I think with no further announcements about toilets or anything like that, we'll get started. So what we've been doing, you know, we started probably, I think it was 12 weeks ago. I don't know. 10. Okay. Something like that. We started a while back. We were meeting at Matt Bartz's house. He's the guy playing drums. And what we did was we just started exploring who is Jesus, you know? I mean, we didn't start really diving into what is church, you know, which is a great subject to talk about, and we'll get there eventually. But Jesus came before the church did, you know? And what's up, DT? Good to see you, bro. Hey, Ashton, grab a seat. Thank you, everybody. David Taylor. That's what happens when you show up late. We'll save you a seat in the front and clap for you. Severely love attention, start showing up late. All right. So, good to see you, bro. Those guys were heading off to Puerto Rico, is that right? A little later this afternoon or tomorrow or something. So, all right, cool. Right after church. So, anyway, we'll keep going about Jesus. DT, thanks for stealing Jesus' thunder there for a minute. All right. So here's the deal. We decided just to start talking about who Jesus is because although he's on lots of t-shirts and some guys wear these bracelets with, like, you know, his initials on it. I don't know. There's all this stuff going on about Jesus, but I don't know exactly how many people in our society really know who he is, you know? And we can go to church for a long time and still not get who Jesus is. I had a lady just tear me a new one earlier this week because I offended her because we didn't do churchy things, you know? And I tried to explain to her that we're not, like, going to do the churchy things. We're going to do what we find in the Bible. And I know that's offensive. I know it's different, and that's not for everybody, and that's okay. But what we're going to do is we're going to, I mean, I tried to apologize, but we didn't really do anything wrong. So I apologize for offending her. Anyway, long story short. But she was very upset because we didn't do things like she had seen in local church before. And that is upsetting, you know, if that's all that we have as our framework to look at. But actually, we have this kind of book, and it's called the Bible, and it has lots of other great stuff in it, too, that maybe we should look at that. And so that's kind of what we're doing now. We're going, and we're looking at who is Jesus in the Bible. Who is Jesus? And then from there, we'll get a really good opportunity to look at what is the church supposed to look like. Not what does it look like, what should it look like. So yeah, all that said, that's kind of what we're doing. And we chose to look at who Jesus is. We chose a letter, a little letter. It's right after Philippians in the New Testament. So these letters now, the church has started. For you guys who may not be real familiar with the Bible, the church has started after Jesus dies. It gets raised again. The church starts in Acts. And then there begins to be these series of letters that are written to different churches to help encourage them because it's pretty brutal and little things were happening. So these guys were writing letters, guys that were like fathers. They weren't guest speaking, like kind of, you know, evangelists, you know, where they took up a big offering afterwards and lived in a mansion on the hill. These were guys who loved the church. They loved the local church, and they served the local church. And if there was a ladder to climb, it seems like the higher the ladder they went, the more like persecution these guys got, but they loved the church. And so this guy, Paul, writes this letter to a church, and the letter's called Colossians. It's to this church. And basically, we've talked about this before, but for you guys who are new, Paul is writing from like a prison in Rome, and he's about to be murdered. It's about 2 or 3 years away from being murdered, and he writes this letter to this church. He's down in like a little cave, no plumbing, no like, you know, just pretty brutal cave. Can't even stand up straight in this cave. Never been to this church in Colossians, but he hears what's going on, and his love for them, he writes this beautiful letter to try to encourage them to remain faithful to the gospel. And so we're going to speak a little bit more about that this week. We've just been kind of carrying on through it, and what we're looking at right now is Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 19. That's going to be this morning. And you'll see the screen we got. We were supposed to have a projector hooked up this week. We managed to get the screen hooked up, and then I pulled it down too far and won't go back up now. So that's, why do we even let me touch things? I don't know. So we'll figure that out. And then we'll get the projector mounted this week. We just had some hangups with it, and it was really good waves at the Cape. So I apologize, but that's what we did. So, all right, let me read this verse to you. This is how we do things. We'll read the verse, and then don't get like hung up or like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. Because what we'll do is we'll just kind of unpackage the thing. And I only preach for about 20 minutes or 30 minutes or something like that. So don't freak out. It won't be too long. And you guys can all enjoy the beach. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, the schism, something, I don't know, whatever, and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Okay, that's a lot. That's a whole lot right there. It's kind of confusing maybe, but we're just going to work it through. The first thing he says, therefore. And we talked a few weeks ago about how I don't remember much from high school. I barely passed the thing. But what I do remember, one thing I remember is when you see a therefore, you ask, what is the therefore there for? Like it means something. It's not just like filling space, you know? And so what we talked about last week, we talked about how we're dead in Christ. We probably want to close that door because these fire guys are loud as I'll get out. So it's all right. I bought one of their t-shirts, so it's okay. I bought one from all of us, so you guys don't have to buy any. All right, so the first thing he says is therefore. And we talked last week, like I said, about we're dead. We're dead. Paul says that we're dead. We're not like just not nice. We're not just not moral. We're not like, those aren't the problems we have. We're actually dead before we meet Jesus. And so Paul says, okay, therefore, on the back of that truth, that we're dead and Christ makes us alive, on the back of that, Paul says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you. And I just want to pause there for a minute because sometimes that kind of stuff can get confused with this whole like, have you ever heard guys say like, oh, don't judge me, man, you know? Like a guy's, like somebody's train wrecking their life, like full on train wrecking their life, and someone who loves them comes alongside and says, hey, man, maybe if you, and they, no, don't judge me, don't judge me, you know? Like you can't tell me, like don't judge me. That's not what Paul is advocating here. That's not love, that's not helpful, that wouldn't be worthy of putting in the Bible. That's not what he's advocating here, is this kind of like, don't let anyone judge you. And so I don't want to be confusing here because I don't want to make it sound like that's what we're on about. You know what I mean? Somebody's train wrecking their life. I mean, the Bible gives us tons of verses about going alongside them because we love them and rescuing them. What Paul is talking about, how are they passing judgment on them? He's talking about this thing of, he first addresses, he says, a question of food or drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. What is all that stuff? What Paul's talking about is Old Testament stuff. Before Jesus came on the scene, there was this law of Moses that everybody lived by. And Paul's saying, some of these guys are coming alongside and they're judging you because you're not doing all this stuff that Moses commanded you to do. They're coming along and saying, hey, you know, you know, you guys aren't right because you're not doing all this other like kind of stuff that was in the law before Jesus came along. And Paul says, number one, don't let anyone pass judgment on you. This isn't about keeping Jewish tradition now. It's not about that. And he goes on, and this is how he answers the scenario. He says, these are a shadow of things to come. They're a shadow of things to come. What's he talking about? Shadow. Another one of the few other things I learned in high school, foreshadowing. I looked up the definition. It means it's a technique used by an author providing clues for the reader to be able to predict what might occur in the story. That's what happens in the Old Testament. It's this thing of foreshadowing. We read the Old Testament, you get really confused. Actually, the way to help you understand it is realizing that the whole Bible is about Jesus, the whole thing. And so you read the Old Testament, and actually there's all these clues that the author, that God has dropped in this story to try to help people predict what's about to happen. And some guys get it. You know, and they write these like, he's going to be like this, he's going to be like that. They can like perfectly describe what Jesus is going to be like because of these clues and the stories. And that's what Paul is saying, is that these laws that were given, they were like a shadow of things to come. This law was given to prove that we couldn't do it. You know, that we couldn't do it on our own. This religion thing was never going to work. And so he's basically saying, this is what that stuff was. And some people now are clinging to the shadow. You know, I spoke to the Christian Surfers a few weeks ago, and we talked about how it'd be like if you were building a house. You know how you use scaffolding? Again, I don't build houses. I can't even fix a screen here. But it's like that scaffolding that you put around a house. You know, it'd be like someone putting that scaffolding up and then going, they get the house built, and they go, man, I tell you, it looks great with that scaffolding, though. Let's leave that scaffolding there because that stuff is sick, you know? I mean, the house is all right, but it doesn't compare to the scaffolding, you know? And that's what had happened with these people. The law, this like this whole religion, Old Testament thing was built as a scaffolding to help people come to the place where they start saying, oh, I get it, I get it, I get it. Like, this climactic moment, Jesus comes, I get it. Like, that's what it was all about. And so some guys go, I get it. And the rest of the guys go, man, but what about the scaffolding? We can't just throw this stuff away. I mean, this stuff is great. Look at it. It's lasted all this time. You know, it's really stable. Look at me jumping up and down. I'm great. You know, like, that's kind of what happened. And so you get these people that want to cling to the scaffolding, and they couldn't let go of it. They couldn't just say, no, man, that isn't what it's about. It's obviously not about the scaffolding. It's obviously about this Jesus that God was foreshadowing, was giving us this glimpse of what was going to come. And so that's what Paul says is, look, don't let these guys judge you. They're hanging on to the scaffolding. They're hanging on the stuff that was a shadow of things to come. You know, they want the shadow. They don't want what actually cast the shadow, you know, which was Jesus. And he goes on, he says, but the substance belongs to Christ. So those were a shadow, but the reality, the building was Christ. The thing that was actually happening was God was revealing Jesus through the entire Old Testament. The reality is Christ. The shadow is pointing towards this reality that was to come, which was Jesus. Jesus is that reality. We talked earlier a few weeks ago. All those teachings are over there for you guys. It's not because we want to feel fancy or whatnot. It's because it may be helpful. So they're over there. They're free. But Colossians 2:2, Paul says that he wants us to reach the full assurance of God's mystery, which is Christ. That Christ is the mystery. That there's no other hidden secrets. There's nothing. It's Jesus. He's the mystery. He's it. You know, and this is something I want you guys to hear this morning. You know, there's a guy I heard a quote recently. And the guy said, you know, we don't have marriage problems, we don't have drug problems, we don't have sexual problems, we don't have relationship problems. He said we have gospel problems. You know, and I was like, what is this guy talking about? You know, and he went on to say, he said what we have are gospel problems with sexual implications, financial implications, marital implications, relational implications. The guy said that what actually happens is because we misunderstand the gospel, or we don't choose to let it change our hearts and our lives, that's where we get our problems from. That actually it's a gospel problem that we have. People don't understand who Jesus really is. I mean, Martin Luther, you guys may not know who he was, pretty cool guy back in history, and he basically talked about how like we need to take the gospel and beat it into people's heads continually, which is kind of a fun phrase. There was a guy at Cape yesterday, we wanted to beat some things into his head, but Matt, thanks for not doing that. It's great representing One Harbor. We about had an MMA match on the beach over there, but it worked out pretty good. So, but it's that whole notion of like, man, the gospel is so important that we need to talk about this thing all the time. We need to talk about Jesus all the time. And this is, let me just ruin this for you. This is what we're all about at One Harbor. This is what we're all about. We're all about the gospel. We're all about Jesus. That's all we're going to talk about. Even when we're talking about sex, even when we're talking about money, even when we're talking about all these things that trends say, we should talk about that because people will come to church if you talk about that. Yeah, sure, we'll talk about it because it's in the Bible. But we'll talk about it from a Jesus perspective, you know, from a gospel perspective. And this is why, because Acts 4:13, there's this crazy little verse about the church in Acts. And it says that these guys that were not a part of the church, they were not Christians, they looked at these guys in the church and they said, you know what? These guys are ordinary, unschooled men, but they took note they'd been with Jesus. And I think that's what I want, man. That's what we want for this church. That's what we should want for all churches, you know? They're not impressed by the fact that we're fancy. I mean, I'm wearing flip-flops, you know? I can't fix a screen. Like, they're not impressed because we have, like, the coolest women's bathroom in town, and maybe one day we'll have one. I don't know, you know? But what they're impressed by is the fact that, man, like, these guys have been with Jesus, you know? I mean, that's impressive. That's what these guys were wowed by, you know, was that Jesus had done something in their lives, you know? And I think more and more as I think about, as we kind of explore this thing, like I said, 10, 12, whatever weeks we are into it, I think we're finding that that's what we really want to be known for, you know? We're not going to try to be, you know, known for our ability to wow people speaking-wise. I'm trying to do a good job, you know? And I hope the worship's good and all that. We want to be excellent at all these things, but that's not what we're going to be known for. We want to be known for people whose lives are changed, you know? Yeah, that's what we want to be known for. There's lots of things we could say on that. But I'm going to keep going. Paul says, let no one disqualify you. And you know what? This is the thing. Religion, this is the difference between religion and the gospel. Religion is this constant attempt to disqualify you. Constant. Constantly attempts to disqualify you. That's what religion does. If you've ever been around religious people, that's what they want to do. They want to disqualify you. Religion says, if I obey God, then he'll love me, you know? But that's the thing, man. So it starts with us. Like, so we obey, and then God loves us, you know? And it's crap, you know? Like, there's other words we could use that, but it's getting recorded, and it'll go online, and I'll get in trouble or something from somebody, whoever that somebody is. But the point is that that's what it is. It's crap, you know? It's crap to say that, you know, if because the Bible says that it's because God loves us that we're able to love him, you know? That it starts with him. It doesn't start with us. And so, I mean, Joey, we were over hanging out with Joey and Kristen last night, and he used this great example. His little son, Ben. I mean, this guy is a tyrant. I think he had, like, what was his fever the other night, Joey? Like 103? Joey said he had a fever of 103, and if you held his hands down, he was still headbutting you. Like, 103. He was still wanting to, like, he still wanted to fight, you know? But he said, like, Joey was talking about how, like, you know, if Ben goes over and I say, look, Ben, don't touch the stove, and he touches the stove, like, he's going to burn himself. I'm not going to stop loving him, but he's going to burn himself. Like, that's this whole thing that, yeah, God wants us to obey him, but, like, it's not like he's going to love us more or less if we don't, you know? So the gospel said God loves me no matter what, and out of the revelation that God loves me, that's how we obey, that we obey because God loves us, that his overwhelming love for us causes us to obey him. Any attempt to disqualify, any attempt to come alongside and say, no, 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 you're not measuring up. Any attempt to do that is religion. And that basically is saying that what Jesus did on the cross isn't enough, that his sacrifice isn't enough. Paul says in Galatians 2, says, if we could get saved on our own, if the law could save us, Galatians 2:21, then Jesus died for nothing, for absolutely nothing. And that's a pretty brutal thing to say because, I mean, most of us have at least heard John 3:16, God sent his only son into the world, had him murdered because he loved us. That's a pretty brutal thing to break out. They're like, actually, no, 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 that wasn't necessary because we could have done this on our own. We couldn't have done it on our own. It had to be Jesus. And so that's what Paul is saying. Don't let anybody disqualify you. This thing is a big deal. Don't let people, religious people, come along and disqualify you. Isn't that thing of, if I obey, then God will love me. No, no, no. God loves you. It goes on and he says, he's insisting all these things, worship of angels and on and on, going on to detail about visions and people just get caught up about stuff that's just not even that important, you know? It's not in the Bible. It's kind of like additional stuff. And I'll tell you a value that we have here at One Harbor, and that's the Bible plus nothing minus nothing, you know? Look, there's other things that are helpful. I read all the time. It's not like all I do is read the Bible. I mean, I read a lot for somebody who barely passed West Carter, you know? But the point is that the Bible is what we're going to cling to. That's what we're going to fight for. You know, that's the one thing we're not going to take out, you know? Look, there's parts I wish we could take out. You know, we We watched Band of Brothers last week, and we had to watch the whole part about the Holocaust. I mean, the concentration camps. Sorry, we had to watch that part. And I told the guys at the beginning, I said, "Man, I wish we could just skip this episode. I really wish we could. I wish we could say, oh, it doesn't exist. It's not there. It never happened, you know? But it did, you know? And that's the same thing with the Bible. Look, we come to places where we're like, sheepers, I wish that wasn't in there. It's difficult to talk about. It's hard. But we can't just cut it out, you know? We have to leave it in there. And so that's how we are. We're the Bible plus nothing, minus nothing. And if you don't like that, man, well, at least we're telling you now. We're kind of upfront about it. You know, you can go somewhere else. I don't know. I mean, that's okay too, you know. We'll still love you and hang out with you. Other things are going to be helpful, but they're not essential for all believers. And that's a religious thing too. That's what religion does too. You know, I think there's going to be lots of times in your and I life, in our lives, where God is going to come along and say, hey, you know what, Hunter, for this season, I want you to kind of, you know, push pause on watching TV or whatever. It's just not helpful for you. Okay, well then, does Hunter start going, does he like grab the mic on like Sunday morning and go, hey, guess what, everybody? God doesn't want anybody to watch TV, you know? Like, and start making us all stop watching TV? No, man, that's what God said to him, you know? But that's what religion does, and that's what had happened, you know? Like, God had come along to these people and said, hey, it's probably a good idea that, you know, you know, I mean, there's all these little ceremonial things, like washing their hands. Maybe one dude just had some dirty fingers, you know? And God's like, hey, you should probably wash your hands before you do that, you know? Next thing you know, everybody's washing their hands all the time, you know? And so the point is that's religion, and that's not what we're going to fight for. You know, we're going to look at the Bible and say, what does that thing talk about? Those things are essential. Those things we can die for. Almost done here, guys. Yeah, so we say things like, in One Harbor, you'll hear me say stuff like a biblical framework. And what that means is, look, we're trying to build this church, but we're not going to build it on the latest trend or poll or market experts, or we're not going to get into all that mess. We're just going to run like crazy. You know, like, and I'm going to be wearing suits one week and, like, you know, shorts the next week and just trying to keep up with the trends. That's stupid. We're just going to be ourselves, but we're going to build this church with what we can see clearly in the Bible. And I'm not going to apologize for that, no more than I would expect, you know, Matt and these guys who build houses to apologize for using wood. Wood works. I mean, look around you. It works. That's kind of the deal with the church, okay? So moving on, Paul says, these guys are puffed up without reason by their sensuous minds, and they're not holding fast to the head. And this is what I wanted to drive home to you this morning, is that we avoid this thing of headless Christianity. That's what I felt to call it. He says that these guys are not holding fast to the head. They're not holding fast to Jesus, who's the head. That's the problem, that these guys have let go of Jesus. And I just want to ask, man, how quickly do we do that? How quickly do you and I do that? Do we let go of Jesus for other stuff, you know? How fast is our head swayed from Jesus to something else, you know? It can happen really quick, like in an instant, you know? We're like, man, yeah, Jesus, that's great. And then whew, we're over here, you know? Like a bird flies by, we're like, yeah, a bird, you know? That happens, you know? And so this is what Paul said. That's where all the problems come from. That's where these guys get screwed up, because they're not holding fast to the head, which is Jesus. And we need to be like a pit bull, man. We need to like get on, like grab a hold of Jesus and not let go. Paul says from the head, he provides us. He says from the whole body, he makes us nourished, knit together, like through the whole body, the whole joints, the ligaments, everything. That the head gives us leadership. That's what God gives us. When we hang on to Jesus, we get leadership, we get nourishment, we get provision. Like we're a healthy community. You know, churches are meant to be healthy. They're not meant to be these backbiting little gossip circles where everybody hates each other and smiles at each other at the same time. That's crap, man. That's not what church is supposed to be, that we're actually a healthy community. That actually there's a love that grows inside of us, you know. And Paul goes on and says, you know, that they're knit together, that we're unified, that we're not saved to be alone, that we're not lone rangers, that we come together because we love each other, you know. This lady that was so upset at me, she said, the only reason I go to church is because of communion, you know. And I was like, okay, well, that's a big deal. Like, what about community? You know, like we should, you know, that's church. That's what it is. It's coming together. And it's loving each other, and we'll talk about that another time. But the basis of our love for one another isn't what you and I can do for each other. The basis of our love for one another is Jesus. You know, that what he's done in us causes us to be bound together. That because we're holding on to the head, because we're holding on to Jesus. And let me help you, if that's confusing, this is what it looks like in a marriage. So many marriages are about kids. They're about the kids, you know? And because their love for one another revolves around something else, it revolves around their children. So kids graduate, what happens? Parents get divorced. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind because that may be a lot of people's story in this room, you know? But what I'm trying to say is that's what Paul is talking about, is if when we don't cling to the head, we make it about other stuff, and that other stuff can't be, it's not trustworthy. We can't build with that stuff. That if we want to build our life and make sure it lasts, that we hang on to the head, which is Jesus. And then he finally says this. He says that we grow with a growth that is from God. And I want to say that's revolutionary. That's revolutionary, that we grow with a growth that's from God. Because there is such a pressure in churches in America to like run all over the place trying to grow. How many people do you have? And what are your number? And I mean, that stuff is so stupid, man. Who cares? You know? Honestly, who cares? You know? That you know, we get this kind of like, there's a guy who wrote a song one time and he said like, you know, we pray to prosper and succeed, but our flesh is something he just won't feed, you know? We want God like prosper us, you know, and make us big and make us successful. And, you know, we want to like hide behind like, oh yeah, it's about Jesus, but actually it's about us. We want to be like the superstar. You know, we want to be some like TBN, like, you know, superstar, like big name guy. And actually, man, what we need to do is get back to, you know what, God, we just want what you want us to have, you know? We want to grow that's with a growth from God, that like God, who you find us faithful with, we'll be faithful with. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow, that God makes things grow. And I want to tell you, this is how it works out in your individual life. This thing cuts out all your striving to climb the corporate ladder, to like, you know, to make a name for yourself, to more, like your position, more money, more time, all that stuff. It cuts that stuff out because you just want to grow with a growth that's from God. You don't want something that's too much for you. And this is, I told you how it works out in our corporate meetings, like with the church, that we're not going to do that. We're not going to like, you know, just strive because this guy's got more people and this, who cares, man? You know, I want all the churches around here to rock. I don't, like, you know, we're not in it to win it, you know, like this is just, you know, we're all on the same team here. And so it ceases our striving because what we come to the place is in our own lives, individually and corporately, we say, you know what, we just want what God has for us, you know? God, you're gonna grow us with a growth that comes from you. I don't want growth that comes from my own striving. I don't want a big house because I made it happen. I want the house that, you know, I can have. It's not gonna make me, you know, prideful and not gonna cause me to like ruin my family because we're chasing after debt. I just want what God has for me. And so that's how Paul ends it there. And I think that's just what I wanted to share with you guys today, is that little passage, you know, and just say, man, let's just try our best. Try your best to avoid headless Christianity. Christianity that isn't holding fast to Jesus, that isn't centered around Jesus. He is like, he's meant to be that cog of the wheel, you know, that everything else spins around, you know, and so often he just becomes one of the spokes. It's a random thing people talk about every once in a while, you know, like, no, he's the center. He's the center of the wheel. Matt and Michael's dad, Terry, used to always say that anything with two heads was a freak. I always loved that saying. I didn't know what it meant even for a long time, but I still loved it. So I always say it all the time, but I didn't know what it meant. It was always in like the wrong situation. But I was thinking about it, you know, and anything with two heads is a freak, but also anything with no head is a freak too. So we don't want to be headless in our Christianity. That's never like, it's never a cool thing. Like I tried to find a picture online of like something headless. It was never like a cool thing. Like it was always something scary or weird, you know. That's the same thing in Christianity. Headless pretty much means not okay, you know. Like if your head's off, it's like something's wrong. So that's, It's the same, as much as it's true for us physically, it's true for us spiritually. You know, if that head's gone, man, something is just not right. We need to get back to where we're clinging fast. Where Paul says we're holding fast to the head, which is Christ. That we just get, like, we get this kung fu kind of pit bull grip, like, on Jesus, and we just let him change us. You know, that we let the gospel get in there and change us. We do believe, you know, that God loves us just the way we are, but we don't believe that God wants to just leave us in our wrecked, messed up lives, that he wants to free us. He wants to set us free. And the way he does that isn't religion. It's the gospel. It's letting Jesus get in there and just, man, he will change you. Let him get in there and just change you. And that's what I'm begging you to do this week. Allow the gospel just to get under your skin. Yeah, because we don't want to be a hall for motivational speeches. That's not what we're trying to build here. We're trying to build something where, man, the gospel, as I said in Acts 4 verse, that people, if they meet somebody who goes to One Harbor, I don't want them to be like, oh yeah, fancy. What? Nah. I want them to be like, man, this guy was a different guy before. Man, God has changed his life, you know? That's what they're recognized by. Matt told a story. I hope, I mean, I'm not throwing him under the bus because he shared it publicly a few weeks ago. But he saw this guy at Smithfield's that he hadn't seen since we were little kids. And I didn't remember this, but apparently we were, like, brutal to this kid, you know. And man, Matt just grabbed the guy. You know, I mean, it was a pretty hard, I think it was a difficult thing to do, you know. Matt just grabbed the guy and said, hey, look, this is who I was back then, and I'm so sorry. I wish I could take it back on and on and on. I just thought, man, that's what I want us to be known for, you know. Nothing fancy. It was just like, that's what we're known for, you know, that God's changed us. So hopefully you got something out of that. Let me just pray for us. These guys are going to lead us into one more worship song. And then because I got yelled at this week about communion, I'll explain it as best I can. We take communion every week. I don't know that we'll do that every, you know, from forever and ever and ever. But for right now, it seems helpful. And here's what that is. That thing is just saying, you know what? Like, man, the bread represents Jesus' body, which was broken. That juice, which should be wine, but, you know, we've screwed that whole thing up. So it's juice now. But anyway, the juice represents Jesus' blood. And we're basically coming and we're saying, look, Jesus, we want to get back to this place where it's me and you. That's the response this morning, that, you know what, we want to be connected back to you again, that you're the head, that you lead us, that you guide us, that you direct us, that you govern our life, and that we cease our striving, we cease our all that nonsense. That's what communion is, that we're joining back again with his body and that was broken for us and his blood that was sufficient for us.